Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening live to the Extra Points Radio Show. I am your host, Coach Keith Howard, alongside Navy Davey. Navy Davey, what is going on, man? How are you? Welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show.
What's up, Coach? Yeah, I'm hurting a little bit after that Army-Navy game last weekend, but, you know, I tip my cap to West Point. You know, every dog has its day. It's the first time in 14 years.
You didn't think that's why I introduced you, Navy Davey, because I was kind of giving you a little bit that Navy lost after you talked all that trash last week. Meanwhile, the Pitt Panthers are Big Ten champions and ACC champions. You didn't think I was doing that, did you?
Hey, listen, man, Pitt's having a heck of a year. And much respect to the program and how you guys are playing. But, no, man, I tip my cap to West Point. They got it done. And it's a Navy day, man. I mean, it's nasty and wet outside and slushy, but just perfect for a Navy ship to keep plowing on through. So I'm here ready to go, brother.
Well, you know, we got a lot to cover today in our 30 minutes. And just big shout out to the Extra Points Radio Show for 2017. As, of course, we go to 1 hour in 2017, so looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah.
So stay tuned. Yeah, looking forward to that. But we got a lot to cover right now. And, you know, Dave, I know that in November, and I don't want to get in the woods on this, but I know somewhere around November 8th or something, the P word, the PC, two words, political correctness came up in our country. But I think political correctness has seeped its way into the business of sport. So specifically, I'm talking about a couple incidents that happened during the week. I thought that'd be a good place to start for our pay attention topic. But before we get into it, explain to the listening audience again what a PAT is.
Well, in football terms, point after touchdown, right? You know, you get the six pointer, then you kick the extra point, the pay attention, or the point after touchdown. But on this show, the Extra Points radio show, we call it the pay attention topic. So that's what the PAT is here. We kick it up and we kick it good every week, and I think it's time for it, Coach.
All right. Well, I'm gonna press the button and I'm gonna start right out the gate with this guy Mixon, who probably is an NFL running back, but I don't know if he ever should be. I'm going to hit the button.
Hit the button.
Dave, come on, man. We got videos of domestic violence. We got student-athletes boycotting bowl games. We got coaches, radio guys exchanging plays. What in the world is going on in the business of sport? There's no rules. Nobody's politically correct anymore. Or are they? Let's start with Mixon.
Well,
have you seen that disgusting video?
It's awful. And as I tell young people all the time, I don't know where we sort of veered off this path of not putting your hands on people. When I was raised, you didn't put your hand on people, and you sure as heck didn't put your hand on a woman. And it didn't matter whether, you know, what she said to you or what she called you. And so this argument that, and for people who don't know, I mean, the Oklahoma running back, they're about to play Auburn in the Sugar Bowl, I believe, right around January 1st. And 2 years ago, he hit a young lady in a I think it was a store, or I don't want to call it a bar because I'm not sure where they were, but they were in some kind of a place of business. And he claims that she spit on him, she was drunk, and she used the N-word. And what I tell young people, and I'm sure you do the same when you speak to them, doesn't matter. I mean, you don't put your hands on people. You don't hit them. That's not how you defuse situations. I think the question is now, I mean, obviously he was suspended for a year. Now he's back. But this video just surfaced this week after different entities wanted to demanded it being seen. It's a bad look. And to me, that one and the University of Minnesota just describes more than ever, you know, in this nature of big-time college sports coach, you know, universities got to balance what's ethical versus what is right versus what the optics are versus what is moral versus what is politically correct versus what's best for their team. And they better do it right because they're under a microscope now more than ever.
Well, Oklahoma did not do that. So they suspended him for the whole season in 2014, but they gave him 113 carries for 753 in 2015. They gave him 168 carries for 1,183 yards in 2016 in a bowl game where he'll get national attention for that. And the question now is, since Oklahoma definitely didn't do it, will the NFL? I mean, people need running back. He ran for 1,100 yards. Dave, I think he's going to get drafted.
Well, he is going to get drafted, and I think it's an interesting question because you said they didn't do the right thing. Some will argue that they did, and you know, he sat out an entire year. So how long is too long? And certainly people make mistakes. And as passionate as I was in my diatribe, you know, in the beginning, they're saying you don't put your hands on people, especially women. And we don't. But if you do, you know, does that mean you should never work again? And I think I would have, you know, on the surface, I would applaud Oklahoma for trying to do the right thing.
Hold on, Dave. So what do we do? Pay his tuition? Is that what we do? The guy clearly is guilty of domestic violence, so we paid his tuition.
Well,
right?
he was on
scholarship for 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a good point, and maybe there's something that you can do, maybe make him pay that back, maybe make him earn. And I agree with you there. I think that's a good point. I mean, maybe you suspend him, and instead of just suspending him, you know, you take away the scholarship, and you make sure that he can maybe you to getting it back. But they didn't take the scholarship, so there was money still being paid. And listen, I agree with you. That's an excellent point, and that's something that Oklahoma should not have done. And those are my initial thoughts off the top. I tell you, University of Minnesota is interesting too because they seem to be going to the other side, right? I mean, they suspended these kids even when the state came back and said, "Hey, we don't have enough evidence to proceed here." They're still something's going on at the University of Minnesota because they're still indefinitely suspending these young men there.
Yet putting their names out there, which I think is terrible. You know, they're putting these kids' names out there. Now, I thought the police had done a full-blown investigation and came up with nothing, that the young lady was, you know, consented and, you know, there was nothing. But the university is saying in every article I'm reading that, you know, well, we can't say everything, but we know that there is something that makes us suspend. So now I like what the kids are doing. The kids are going, hey, we just won't go to San Diego to the holiday, whatever, Pacific Light Bowl or whatever it is. We just won't play the game. So something's got to give here because I know those bowl guys are scrambling. What do you think gives
them?
They are.
Well, what I think that will it's a tough one to – I think it's difficult to predict what will happen because, again, never seen it in a situation where at the very end they went and picked another team. I think eventually the young people will come back and play. Probably it might be a last-minute thing. I think the thing about it, Coach, that strikes me is just how this stuff is – it's not unprecedented, but it's so difficult to handle – because of the different things going on. You got the University of Minnesota, who is trying to take a hard stance on this, and good for them. I mean, we just talked about Oklahoma and what they didn't do. Minnesota is saying, hey, we're not going to be the next Baylor or, you know, the next Oregon. And yet some would say, are they too heavy-handed here? The state of Minnesota is saying that there's not enough evidence. So it's difficult to balance that line. And I love your point about the names. I mean, you know, until we know things, should those names have been released? So you got all of those things. And then you get the kids who are trying to do the right thing and support their players. And at the end of the day, do we really know what happened that night in that room or that house? No, we don't. So it's difficult. And in this day and age of big-time college athletics, where what happens in your program becomes a news story, if you don't know how to handle that, if Alabama doesn't know how to handle Steve Sarkisian, who has had a long legacy
right.
of alcohol problems, you know, and
liquored
you bring
up,
him in. Now, Alabama
is press conference.
Right. Alabama's Alabama, of course, and so maybe they've got structure in place and some equity, so to speak, built up to do what they want to do. But if you don't handle those things right in this microscope, boy, it could go awry, and it could go awry fast.
Wow. Well, let's shift gears to this Wake Forest thing. Now, I would consider both of us broadcast journalists. It's on your resume, probably not on mine. That's all right. But this guy at Wake Forest, this guy.
Mm.
So I hear now that, you know, he gives the plays over to Louisville. For those that don't know, Wake Forest
sure.
radio guy. Gives the plays to the Louisville offensive coordinator. Now I'm hearing the Louisville offensive coordinator is going to get suspended for the bowl game. But
yeah.
Now, first of all, I've heard this kind of stuff before. So this
mm-hmm.
is not unusual. This one here, I don't think it even comes close to the other two. I'm not shocked. It's just the fact that what I'm shocked about, again, the political correctness part, is that we're actually talking about it out loud. Because had you ever heard of a story like this before?
No, but I also am not naive enough to believe that stuff like that doesn't happen. You know, on its surface, it appears to me you've got a coach, Tommy Elrod is the coach's name. It appears to me you've got a coach who was disgruntled. I mean, he was – or a broadcaster, I should say, and a former coach who was on the previous staff. Things happened, that staff was changed, he became the color analyst for the radio network. It appeared that he was a little disgruntled at those changes. It also appears that this guy took it to a level of getting back at the new regime by giving plays away. Now, some people have speculated maybe this guy's got a gambling problem or something. Listen, all that stuff's on the table. I would tell you this. It's just the worst. It's awful when you do things like that because, you know, you got players out there trying to play. What didn't Louisville know? Hey, they probably took the gouge and they probably tried to disseminate it. I don't believe for a second Bobby Petrino, who says I didn't know anything about it, because, listen, he's had a history of lying. And we all know that every coach is trying to get an advantage. So, you know, it's an ugly situation.
Well, you know what? Speaking of college football, you know what we neglected to do at the start of the show was talk about our guest. And I know that our guest is on the line, and it's Josh Barr from the Military Bowl, friend of the show, friend of Coach Howard's, friend of Dave Owen. So let's welcome Josh right now because we want to get right into some Military Bowl. Now, we know who won the Military Bowl last year. We don't want to talk about last year because that's in the past. But we don't want to talk about that ever again in life. Josh, welcome to the Extra Points Radio Show. Good morning.
Morning, guys. Keith, I think it depends on the host's perspective of last year's game.
Yeah.
And Dave might beg to differ.
Exactly.
Exactly. Well, Josh, I will say this, that you know, it was a little breezy out there for us. But I was out at practice all week with Pittsburgh. You could have bought my house that they were going to kill Navy. And I'm going to tell you, that Navy team came out and took it to them. It was a really exciting game. But I think you got another one served up for this year, and I'm excited about it. Tell our listening audience about this year's Military Bowl.
Well, this year's game is on Tuesday, December 27th at 3:30, and this year's teams, we have Temple, which is the American Athletic Conference champion. Temple had a great run down the stretch. They beat Navy in the conference championship game at Navy. I think
hold on, Josh. Hold on. You said you had Temple, and they won their league. Now, who did they beat down the stretch again?
Come on, Coach. Come on.
Just about everybody. I mean, if you look.
Okay, all right.
I was going through the numbers. Because I was putting together the flip card for the game. And Temple's numbers are unbelievable down the stretch. And, you know, they concluded with the conference championship win at Navy. I think we all would have wanted to see, you know, Navy stay healthy through that game. I mean, what a year for Navy, you know, doing what they did after losing their starting quarterback in the first half of the season, first half of the first game of the season. And Will Worth, who wasn't even supposed to play much this year, comes in, and he's terrific. But then he goes down, and all of a sudden you're on the third-string quarterback, your running backs get hurt, Navy had a ton of injuries, but that's not taking anything away from Temple. I mean, Temple was dominating, absolutely dominating down the stretch, and they won their conference championship. They're 10-3. It's only the third time in school history that they've won 10 games in a season. Of course, their coach, Matt Rhule, took a job at Baylor after the season, and Temple just hired Jeff Collins from Florida. He won't coach in the game. I think he's going to be in attendance, but he's not going to coach. And so if Temple's playing Wake Forest, and Wake Forest is interesting. They went 6-6. They got off to a really hot start this year, and then they struggled down the stretch. But down the stretch, you know, they had a tough schedule. They had Louisville late. They had Florida State late. They had Clemson late. And they played those teams tough. You know, they faded at the end a little bit of those games, but they played them tough. I mean, Louisville, I think it was 12-3 there up at halftime, you know.
Yep.
And so Wake Forest is a tough team, and they're not flashy. They're strong on defense. And, you know, I think it's going to be an interesting matchup. I mean, Wake Forest plays a lot of young guys. Temple is an experienced team, and their guys have been through it, and they're darn good.
Well, you know, you served up a good one last year. Listening to those two teams, I know about the Temple team. I mean, that coach has done a great job and turned that program around. And Wake, I watched Wake a couple times this year, and they're not the same old Wake either. So that's going to be a really good game. But tell us, Josh, outside of the game, because I got a chance to get in on some of the events and activities last year, tell us about this year's activities and events. You guys do a good job with that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the Military Bowl is not just a football game. You know, we want, whether it's the players and the things they do when they come to town, or the fans and the things they do when they come to town, we want to make sure everybody who comes to Washington and Annapolis has a great time. And it starts, the teams will come in on the 22nd. They're going to visit the U.S. Capitol. Wake Forest has planned a trip to the brand new Smithsonian African American History Museum. You know, we want to do things like that. They're going to go Christmas Eve dinners at Ben's Chili Bowl. They're also doing community visits. One team is going to go bowling with veterans over at the Armed Forces Retirement Home, which is I go on that trip every year, and it is just neat to watch the interaction between everybody and have some fun. And by the way, Dave, Keenan Reynolds, hell of a bowler.
Oh yeah.
You know, make sure you have that. Make sure you note that. You know, and the other team's going to go serve Christmas dinner to recovering service members over at Walter Reed. So there are things like that going on for the players all week, and it's tough because they're here over Christmas. You know, and I mean, and for the coaches and their families too. I mean, the coaches bring their whole families in usually for bowl week. I mean, yesterday we had an interesting shipment arrive at bowl headquarters. You know, there are some really long, kind of narrow boxes. They had handles on the side, thankfully, because they were heavy and bulky. You know what they were? They were Christmas trees that we could assemble in some of the suites over at the hotels that the teams are staying in. You know, complete with lights and things. We want people to feel like, you know, it's a tough time of the year to be on the road, and you want to give a touch of home to people. You know, conversely, on the fan side, we have a lot of things set up in Annapolis, you know, mostly on Monday the 26th and Tuesday the 27th. on Monday the 26th in Annapolis, we have a wine walk with about 15 participating businesses in downtown Annapolis over on Main Street, West Street, Maryland Avenue. And some wineries from the Maryland Wineries Association will be doing tastings at those gatherings during the wine walk. Yeah, it's a nice setup, and that's from 4 to 6, because we know a lot of fans are going to come to town, and they're going to get in, they're going to want something to do. Also, at that same time, though, the wine walk might be a little more, I don't know, how should we say this? You know, it's going to be a very leisurely stroll. We also have a bar crawl going on in Annapolis. Mm. You know, it starts at 4 o'clock and runs a little later, that we partner with our Katziff Brothers, which is the Anheuser-Busch distributor in Annapolis and has part of the Washington area as well, and they set up a bar crawl in downtown Annapolis. You know, those two things, and there's also a tailgate in conjunction with that going on over by the west. You put all those things together, and you have the recipe for a really fun time. I mean, I will tell you that if you walk the streets of downtown Annapolis the night before the Military Bowl, the bars and restaurants are all going to be packed. And people are going to be out and having fun. It's a good time. You know, you guys will appreciate this story. So the day of the game, we have a parade.
Did we lose Josh there? There you go.
This is the fourth year of the bowl in Annapolis, and we've done parade every year, and we have the Clydesdales leading the parade. And the first year we did it, we also have the local radio station, WRNR, handles broadcasting the parade for us. And, you know, we had a mix-up the first year about whether they needed their own power or not. And so at the last minute, they're like, no, we need power. And, you know, it was miscommunication. So at about 11 o'clock at night, the night before the parade, I am with one of our volunteers, and he was – Dwayne Cordy is a volunteer for us, and he helps us host Medal of Honor recipients. Dwayne's a Navy grad, and he also works for Northrop Grumman now, and Dwayne's a terrific help. And this year we're going to have 7 Medal of Honor recipients joining us. And Dwayne's a pretty resourceful guy, so we're walking down the bottom of Main Street where the parade announcer is going to be set up looking for some power. And here I am. I'm looking at light posts. I'm looking at everything. Swain's a smart guy. You know what he does? There's a big giant Christmas tree at the bottom of Main Street, and it's wrapped with lights. It's not a Christmas tree. It's a huge tree, and they wrap it with lights and turn it into a Christmas tree that time of the year. And Swain says, there's power on that sucker. So you go over, and right there, hiding under a big old bucket, there's a couple outlets right there. Well, we're in business. You know, the stuff that comes along with running a bowl game, no matter how much you feel like you have everything tightened up and all ready to go, something's always going to pop up, you know, and you just got to be able to fix it. So the morning of the game, we have a parade. There will be a couple thousand fans and spectators lining the parade route. Main Street is incredible. People will come down. I'm amazed at what a draw the Clydesdales are. It is crazy. And the way, if anybody's listening and they're a fan of the Clydesdales, we're running promotion this year. We're going to select one lucky fan to have an opportunity to have a private meet and greet with the Clydesdales the day before the game. Go on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever you want. Share us your favorite photo, your favorite memory, your favorite story about the Clydesdales, and tag it Clyde's Host. And we will pick one lucky winner from those submissions to win a meet and greet the day before the game with the Clydesdales. You know,
But
the Clydesdales, and people will come down. Cool. You know, the Clydesdales get there probably about 2 hours before the parade starts. They have to set up and do all sorts of things, and it's the coordination that goes into getting, you know, the Clydesdales and their trailers and everything into downtown Annapolis is pretty remarkable. And so they'll set up right down by City Dock in front of the Mission Barbecue there, and the parade has, you know, youth groups, community groups, military groups, youth football teams from Anne Arundel Youth Football Association that won the championship, league championships. We have, I think, 8 teams signed up. We offer them the opportunity to be in the parade, and we also offer them complimentary tickets to the game for those championship teams. And so they'll be in the parade, and the parade is just a neat time, and it'll be nice and crowded all the way up until you get to the circle at the top of Main, Church Circle, and then they'll go out Route Boulevard to the stadium, and a lot of fans who are in the parking lot preparing for the game nice and early, they tend to walk down to Taylor Avenue, and it's a nice show coming down Taylor Avenue to the finish of the parade.
I like how you said preparing for the game. I like how you said that. You also said something about complimentary ticket. I'll call you this afternoon about that one. But tell us in our last minute how people can get tickets and find out more information about the Military Bowl, which, by the way, one of my favorite games. I love the Military Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Keith. So the best way to do it is if you go to militarybowl.org/tickets. You can buy your tickets right there online, or you can call 888-841-2787. You can buy tickets over the phone that way. There are good seats available still. We are amazed, by the way, and Keith, there's a secret I'm going to share here. So the seats on the sides go quickly. You know, lower bowl on the sides go quickly, and the teams have those in their allotments usually, most of those tickets. The bowl staff, I know you guys have been to Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Dave, we're not going to talk about what the stadium was like when you were there.
Yeah, right.
The new Navy Marine Corps Memorial Stadium. I'll tell you what, it's a gorgeous stadium now. It is gorgeous. The best seats in the house, we still have a few available. We think they're the south end zone seats.
Yeah.
Everybody looks and says, oh, we don't want to sit in the end zone. But I'll tell you what, those seats are literally right on top of the field. They are, we think they're the best seats in the house.
Oh, it's awesome. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
It is a great place to watch a game. If people have never been there, I encourage you to go. The bowl's a lot of fun. You know, we have a great pregame show. We'll be joined by the USO Show Troop. This year's game celebrates the 75th anniversary of USO. And, you know, the Military Bowl is a deep commitment to philanthropy, and our charitable partners, the USO, we give at least $100,000 each year to the USO, in addition to providing tickets for active duty service members. I encourage people to come down to the game, get there early, don't mess around with traffic, come early, get a parking spot in the parking lot, prepare all day. It's a wonderful time. You'll have a great time at the game. You know, I saw the latest forecast. I think it said 72 and sunny. Maybe I'm dreaming.
There we go.
But,
yeah, that wasn't the forecast last year, but we'll go with that. Josh, hey, thanks a lot. We're running up on time. But thanks so much for joining us. And, hey, if you need a play-by-play and color guide, the Extra Points Radio Show knows two guys who'd be interested in that. So just give us a call. I mean, give them a call. All right, thanks a lot, Josh.
Josh Barr, great talking to you,
Military Bowl, militarybowl.org. Dave, here's the 2-minute warning. I'm gonna give a real fast one because we're up on time. But it's easy, Dave. If you run into a military person, not only during the holidays, not only on Veterans Day, not only on Memorial Day, but anytime you run into a person that, you know, done their wares and their hard work in the armed services, yourself included, thank them for a job well done, because we wouldn't be able to say what we want to say about all these sports people on this radio if it wasn't for them. So thank your military service. Navy Davy, what do you got going on real quick? We're about 60 seconds out. What do you got going on?
Just doing a lot of work, man, in my video production stuff. As most people know, Visionary Media Productions, we do a lot of, and of course I teach too on the side, but Visionary Media Productions really doing a lot of work shooting documentaries and commercials for different corporations. So if that's something that you're in need of out there, visionarymediaproductions.net, or you can, of course, get in touch with the Extra Points Radio Show. But great show, man. Josh Barr is the best. I didn't ask any questions because he just handled everything. He is a great, great journalist, a great PR guy. Love working with that guy. So when you had him on the show today, I said, I'm just going to shut up and let him talk. And the Military Bowl is great, man. So not just because I went to Annapolis, but it's just a great bowl. So,
hey, he is the man. Hey, visit extrapointsllc.com. Coach Howard wrote a book, Extra Points, The Life of a Story. Get your copy today. We'll see you next week. As always, the Extra Point is up, and it is good.
Later, Coach.
vintage moment.